Yeah, and for me, I would look to him, you know, tell me I'm valuable, tell me that I'm good enough. And it was, in many ways, love me, but also, you know, value me as a person, which isn't a bad thing. But the myth is that we look to someone else for that. But really, the truth is that we are fully, completely loved by this amazing God. And I wish 24 years ago I would have recognized that and known that walking into our marriage, that I am loved, I am accepted, I am valued, and I'm good enough.
Insights from our guest on the last Focus on the Family broadcast, Erin Smalley. And she and her husband, Dr. Greg Smalley, have returned today. They're going to share more with us about some secrets for a lifelong marriage. And we're so glad you've joined us. I'm John Fuller, and your host is Focus President and author Jim Daly.
Folks, we are putting all hands on deck when it comes to marriage and helping save marriages. Greg and Erin walk in the door every day here at Focus on the Family thinking, how can we do it better? How can we save more marriages? What can we do that's fresh and new and helps people? And I am so grateful for their day-to-day leadership.
And Jim, as you said, Greg and Erin are on staff here. They've been married for 24 years, and they've been on the broadcast a number of times. It seems that we always get a strong response from our listeners when Greg and Erin are here because they have such great insights, and they tell some good stories, too.
Well, they do, and what I love about them is they're transparent. Mm-hmm. And when you can talk about the struggles in your marriage, even though you still love each other, that resonates with people because, you know what, they're not perfect. You're not perfect, we're not perfect, and everybody seems to be on the same field at that point. So with that introduction, Greg and Erin, welcome to Imperfection.
Wow, I want you to be our herald. Just walk around and introduce us everywhere we go.
It's so good to have you back. And Greg, of course, you were raised in the household of Gary and Norma Smalley, your mom and dad. And you learned some things, but you didn't come into marriage in a perfect way, did you?
Not at all. You would think that based on, growing up there. You know, I guess there's a big, big difference between hearing and then doing.
Yeah.
And that was where I struggled. And quite frankly, you know, hey, honestly, when I walking into marriage at 23, I had a lot of growing up to do. There was a lot of stuff that I hadn't dealt with that I needed to deal with. And probably for me, the biggest thing was, you know, growing up in that home with Gary Smalley, he was such a spiritual giant that I probably leaned too heavily on him as far as my own spiritual
identity.
Relationship and identity.
Yeah.
And it took a couple years to really struggle through some things before God really got a hold of me. And then I was able to figure out my own relationship with God, which then really made a difference in our marriage. But I feel like every time I say this, I need to apologize to my wife for so sorry about those
right
first
here.
Couple years.
Well, Erin's nodding. No,
yeah,
I'm kidding.
Nodding,
oh, she should
agreeing.
Be.
Well, and it's
yeah,
that's why right. we're calling this book Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage, because I mean, marriage can be crazy, right? I mean, there's the ups, the downs, the chaotic days, the days of, you know, cars sliding into trees when you're just trying to have a family adventure. And, you know, I like to refer to it as my beautiful chaos, that it's a beautiful thing, that God is doing so much through it. But it can be chaotic at times.
Well, one of the big advantages I see in you and your relationship is humor. But sometimes people feel like, well, I don't have Greg Smalley's sense of humor. I don't laugh that much. What would you say to that person about life, and how do you get over some of the bumps when you don't have that kind of perspective?
Yeah, early on in our marriage, there came a point where we were struggling so much that I really began to wonder if we even should have gotten married. I mean, was this really – should we have done this? I was so discouraged. My heart was so shut down, and that's when Satan – plays on your mind. So he's the one in my mind going, yeah, maybe you shouldn't have gotten married. Mm. And I think what began to happen for me is I lost sight of how incredibly valuable our marriage really was. I was focused on all the negative stuff. But the truth is that our marriage is full of valuable things. And so for the person who maybe goes, yeah, we don't have that kind of fun and we don't laugh like that, one of the best things you could ever do is just to make a list of here are the things that I value about my own relationship. Maybe it's this togetherness. Maybe it's the fact that they're raising kids together. Maybe they're serving, you know, on a mission field together in some way. Maybe it's, you know, just being married to a best friend. I mean, there's a dozens and dozens of things that'll make your marriage valuable. And for me, a counselor told me this one time, and it aired one there when we needed help, we actually went and got help. And the counselor really challenged me at some point going, you know, when I listen to you talk about your marriage, it's also negative. He goes, I want you to go home this week and I want you to bring back a list and fill it full of anything you can think of what you love about your marriage. And I tell you, that had a huge, huge impact because I started to see, yeah, you know what? There are things when God says in Hebrews 13:4 that marriage should be honored by all. I think that's a part of how we do that.
Huh.
Is that we figure this out, reminding myself of what I appreciated about our relationship, even through the pain and the frustration, it changed my perspective.
Well, there's a homework assignment, John. You going to take it up?
Yeah.
Create that list.
I will.
Tonight.
I think that's a good
idea. It's a good thing for everybody. It'd be to, you know, when you get home, sit down with your spouse and list those things that you're excited
can make
about
a difference.
In your relationship. Mm-hmm. Sure can. Hey, last time we talked about those 12 secrets that we alluded to, I want to dig into one of them, maybe two of them. Secret number three is about romance. It's called True Love Strives to Know and to Be Known. And I really am curious, what did you mean by that, to know and be known?
You know, really what we're talking about is, you know, to know your spouse, but then also to be known as an individual in the relationship. So to not only know Greg, but to also for him to know me as a person. And to really, the only way to do that is through communication. That communication is going to allow us to truly know who we are and who we are as a couple, who we are as individuals. And so often couples stop talking.
Well, and let me ask you this, Aaron. We're so busy. And it sounds like a great excuse, but you can get moving so fast. You have so many appointments. You get home. There's so much to do with the kids. We've got to get them ready for this. And in fact, tonight I'm going to a concert. Troy's playing the baritone and,
nice.
You know, all those kind of, and it just seems that's like life. That's the way it is. Mm-hmm. And to stop and say to Gene, let's know and be known with each other. I mean, it's like, are you serious? We got baritone practice.
Yeah.
But rattle my head a little bit here. I don't want to sound like I'm just giving excuses. How do we in a modern culture committed to each other say, okay, we got to somehow slow this train down so we can do what God wants us to do in our relationship? That's job one. How do you do mm-hmm. it?
You know, and it doesn't have to be such a big deal. I think sometimes we make it into such a major undertaking. You know, truly, if you're prioritizing your marriage, then you're going to take action with that and you're going to invest in this thing called marriage. You have to. It's not self-sustaining. And so truly, you know, really, we like to say, take a daily pause. You know, just take, you know, 20 minutes when you get home, sit down with Gene, you know, have a conversation that's heart to heart and just, you know, offering what's happened to me today? What's God doing in my life? And asking the question, Greg, what's going on for you? You know, where are you at emotionally? What, you know, how are you doing with the kids? You know, just simply having that heart to heart connection. It doesn't have to be a major undertaking.
How does communication styles play in this? Because I am thinking of all the personality types here.
Oh, yeah.
You want me to do what?
I mean, even to hear her describe that, it causes angst in me. Because that's not how I love to connect.
How do you connect?
Well, I like to do things. So I like for us to go on a walk. I like to go on an adventure. I like to go out and do a date night. I mean, I think for a lot of guys, it's about doing something together. I think for a lot of women, it's that, think of that coffee shop. It's sitting down, facing one another, getting into a very deep conversation. But what I've learned, that's what Aaron loves.
Mm-hmm.
And so this whole idea of a daily pause. See, when you say, you know, how do you have good communication? Again, I'm too simple. What? How do you do that? So honestly, that the goal for me now is I want to know my wife. So I want to keep updated. I want to keep current. In other words, I need to keep asking her questions. That's that daily pause. What it does is that at the end of the day, let's say for 10, 15, 20 minutes, I'll just ask Aaron some questions. Now, I had to ask her, what could I ask you that would be meaningful? Say,
where have you been today? What did you buy?
If you've got to ask, then you don't know me very well.
I mean, you can ask questions or you can ask questions.
Yeah. And see, so, but John, that's the myth, is that if I knew you so well, then I would know what to ask you. What I did is I went to Aaron and said, you know what? Okay, I like this idea of a daily pause. I get that I should be asking you questions to stay current, to update myself on what's going on in your life. What do you want to know? What could I ask you? And she went, oh, I got four that you could ask me. And I went, no, think about it for a second. She goes, if I think about it, I'll have eight. How many would you like?
Stop at four.
So I said, four is fine. She literally went, she goes, if you ask me, how am I feeling? She goes, if you ask me how things are going between me and the kids, ask me how things are going between me and my girlfriends. This is Aaron asking that. And then what is one thing that God's been teaching you as of late? That gave me four.
That's a good question.
So I had to learn, though, to switch them up, because usually I would say, so how are you feeling today? And then 20 minutes later, I'm going, okay, wow, that's a lot of feelings. And what I've discovered is that actually just by asking some simple questions like those, and whatever your spouse would like, I mean, it's whatever, that what it's done is that it honestly keeps me current in what's going on. I love there's a line from a song that says, the joy of rediscovering you. And that's become sort of my quest. I want to keep rediscovering my wife, because she keeps changing. And so that's the idea of being committed to knowing her. But then I have to be willing to also to allow her to know me. And maybe as a guy, that's where it's a little bit more challenging. Mm.
Aaron, we've heard Greg's list that he thinks about for you. What do you think about for him?
You know, I always start with, you know, how are things going with you and the kids? What is God teaching you as of late? But then a big one for men is, you know, how are things going at work? Because as a man, you know, the success, feeling like he has what it takes, it's a good question to just check in and, you know, how are things going for you at work?
I usually say my boss is mean to me.
Golly, John, why are you so mean to Greg?
I'm kidding. No, but it is. But and then it usually, and quite honestly, as much as she can go forever on the how are you feeling, which is a great thing, for her, she can mind that question. I mean, hey, how are things going to work? What's going on? And she just minds that and keeps asking me questions. And all of a sudden, I'm being known by her. That's the point.
You know, Greg, in this, I don't mean this as a scapegoat at all, but even brain science, when you look at MRI scans, I mean, women are well-wired between the two hemispheres of their brain. That's where you get books like Spaghetti and Waffles and Venus and Mars. Mm-hmm. And, you know, women are thinking. I'll ask Gene, you know, I'll be in the nowhere zone. I'm not thinking about anything. Yeah. And Gene, I could just see her wheels are trying to say, what are you thinking about? She goes, well, I kind of got two lists going. One is for this and one is for that. And I'm going, that sounds exhausting. But that's how the female brain works, isn't it?
It's beautiful. And it's confusing. Yeah. Because I don't think that way. The key that we've discovered, so we take this daily pause, and that's really more to get to know Aaron. I mean, I think that's more of how guys can pursue their wives. But what I've learned is that when we do what we call a weekly escape to get out of the house, we go do something. So we will pick an activity. We'll just walk around. We'll do whatever. That's what hits for me. See, I don't want to sit down and deeply stare into your eyes, Jim.
I think that's
a good thing,
awkward. Which is healthy.
That's not me. I mean, getting this deep, deep, that's not me. But we just say you can hit both what feels good to a woman is that daily pause, that just asking questions. But also for the guy, you can then hit on just that. I want to do something. I want a little bit of adventure here. And by the way, in the midst of all that, we're still talking. So the woman's also getting that need met.
How does this differentiate with another one of your secrets for marriage? And that's true love nourishes. These sound very similar. What's the difference between nourish and being known to each other?
Mm-hmm. You know, nourish is really, you know, based on that you value your relationship, that you're investing in your relationship by being known and knowing your spouse, then you're taking action and you're nourishing your spouse. And really, this is based on Ephesians 5:29, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it as Christ loves the church. So, you know, to nourish and to cherish. Cherish is, you know, valuing your marriage, your spouse in your mind, but then nourish is to take it a step further and to then treat them in valuable ways.
Which I love that. For me, nourish is all about knowledge. It's all about learning. What is it that Erin wants from me that helps her to feel loved? Mm-hmm. So it's really about nourish means to grow. In other words, how do I help Erin grow? How do I help her grow as a wife? I need to learn something. What does she like? I need specific things that she needs from me in order to feel loved. And one time we saw this. It was so funny. We were getting ready to go on a vacation one time, and one of our daughters, Murphy, at the time was 4, and she had this little animal, stuffed animal, this little praying bunny. And we were getting ready to go on this trip, and little Murphy had this thing in her hand as we're trying to leave to get to the airport. And so I'm thinking, she's going to lose. I mean, I don't want the chaos. You got to leave this thing home. So I'm trying to convince Murphy to leave little Gracie, is her name for this little praying bunny, leave Gracie home, which is not easy. And so Murphy comes running up, and I go, whoa. I said, hey, Murph. I said, I see you've got Gracie. And she's like, yes. I say, honey, I hate to tell you this. And so I'm trying to think in my mind, like, what do I say? How do I get her to leave it? The only thing that came to my mind was I said, honey, you got to leave her home because the airline, it only allows us so much weight and so much luggage.
That bunny is pretty heavy.
Exactly. Yeah. And I said, and Gracie will put us over the limit. Now she's 4. So, I mean,
it should work. Yeah. Good odds it'll work, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm literally sitting there going, I think we just finished, he finished 10 years of graduate school in psychology, and that's what he came up with.
Yeah. That's why you hired us to do the marriage and not the parenting here to focus. So, of course, Murphy's arguing, and I'm saying, honey, you seriously got to go put Gracie back, and I'll never forget this. It's just one of those moments I couldn't believe would happen. She big tears. She's saying, she asked me, you know, well, Daddy, because we were going to Disney World. She's like, well, are we going to have fun at Disney World? And I said, yeah, honey, it's the best place on earth. We're going to do all these fun things. And so I said, you got to go put Gracie back. I'll never forget this. So she, big tears. She looks at me and she goes, well, Daddy, she goes, I love Gracie so much that if that's how much fun we're going to have, I want you to take her and I'll stay home.
Oh, that's sweet.
There's nothing sweet about that.
That's totally sweet.
I loved every minute of it.
Yeah. So I'm looking at her for help and she's just shaking her head.
Come
laughing.
On, Gracie went, right?
You know, what Murphy did though that day to me is the epitome of nourishing someone. And that's that once she recognized Gracie's value and then in the moment that it mattered the most, she treated her in a valuable way. And so for us, how do I learn how to treat Erin in that valuable way? What does she need? And so just over the years, we've just learned those things. We actually, you came up with this. It's such a good idea to figure these, you know, like what do we need to feel love? How do we do that?
Yeah. And so just simply asking your spouse to complete the statement, I feel loved when you ... fill in the blank and come up with your list of this is how I feel loved. Because typically we're going to try to love our spouse in the ways that we feel loved. But just having them simply complete that statement and come up with a list of ways that they're going to feel most loved. Awesome.
You have another one of the lifelong secrets is looking inward. That one caught my attention. It's intriguing to me because I think it scripturally it fits. You know, look to the plank in your own eye before you look to the speck in your spouse's. Let's just put it in that.
Why can't we rewrite that one?
Yeah, that context. Yeah, I'd rather get the speck out before the log.
Thank you.
But what were you intending for us to grab out of that as a marriage principle?
Yeah, I read this story about how certain hunters will trap a monkey, and it really hit me. Because what they do is they take a coconut and it's hollowed out that has this little opening and they'll put in some sort of delicacy, something that a monkey would want. And then they chain this to like the ground or to a tree. And what's fascinating is that the monkey will come by and will see whatever's in there, will reach his hand and will grasp hold of whatever's in there. But his hand's flexible enough to get in to the coconut, but while he's holding the whatever,
when it forms a fist,
he can't get it back out. Yeah. And what's interesting is that monkey will never let go of what he's holding on to.
So the hunters or the trappers have it.
Will get them. And when I started realizing that there are things in my own life that I've refused to let go of, that have sort of become my own monkey trap.
What does that look like? Give it a name.
Yeah, for me, there's a way in which, and I'm not even going to look at my wife right now because I can sense her starting to smile as I start to share this, that somewhere along the line that I just fell into this really bad habit of kind of being secret. Like if I eat something that maybe I shouldn't eat, I'll hide the wrapper or I'll bury the wrapper inside the trash so that I know that my wife won't see. I won't tell her certain things, and I'll justify that that's not even that big of a deal. Why? I don't want to bother her with that. I don't want to burden her with that. So I'm just not going to tell her about that. I just started to realize that there's been so many ways in which that I'm secretive about things. And it really has caused problems within my relationship. There's ways in which that I'm not fully known by my wife.
Let me ask you this, though. How do you identify those things? I mean, do you put a name to it? Do you say, this is my lack of patience? This is my tidy, neat thing? I've got to have the garage clean, my monkey trap. It also sounds reasonable to me. And you sit there and debate, okay, is that really a monkey trap or is that a good thing?
Mm-hmm. You know, you start looking at is it keeping you stuck? You know, is keeping the garage clean all the time keeping you stuck? You know, probably not. But there's other things that may be keeping you stuck. You know, what is it you need to let go of to experience freedom? Hmm. You know, what maybe it was a relationship with a parent. You know, for me, it was really getting getting complete freedom and healing from some of the stuff from anger with my dad, you know, just being set free from that. I thought I'd let go of it, but there were parts of me that were still holding on to that. You know, what's keeping you from being healthier and more joyful? Is it an attitude? Is it, you know, bitterness? Is it a faulty belief? What's Satan telling you? Because he wants you to be stuck in that monkey trap.
But these are all good things.
You have to buy into the notion that in a marriage, two negatives don't equal a positive.
Unlike
it's true
math.
In math, right. But it's not true in a relationship. And as long as you fully believe that I've got to keep growing. And, you know, for a long time, I was more interested in helping everybody else. I was more interested in helping Aaron. You know what?
Oh, yes, you were. Very
so
committed to
easier.
That.
Well, you've done
but
a great
hey,
job,
I've got
Aaron.
Lots of personal growth.
You're a wonderful person,
you've
Aaron.
Really well, Aaron.
Way to go, Greg.
You are welcome.
Way to go, Greg.
But it was that point I went, you know what? I need to go talk to someone. Yeah. And I actually went and went to a counselor. And spent some time, and we really visited this issue. And you know what? Tell you what, God really spoke through this person, and I got some good insight on what was going on. And God's really not only given me insight, but really have met me within that to where there's been some healing. Mm. And we've all got the monkey traps, so there's always going to be something that I'm grasping hold of, not wanting to let go.
Well, again, it's a great metaphor. And in fact, you know, for those that may think of the scriptures being antiquated, I've often been in discussions with people that don't embrace faith fully. They'll say that. Those are metaphors for a long time ago. But think of Adam and Eve. Think of that when they eat from the fruit that the Lord told them not to eat from. The first thing they did was to cover up and hide.
Yeah, there you go.
And we're still doing it today in different ways. It may not be fig leaves covering our bodies. It's emotional areas that we don't want anybody to look at. And that's what you're describing, and that's what struck me. Greg and Aaron Smalley, authors of the book Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage, 12 Secrets for a Lifelong Romance. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, there are so many good principles in the book, and it will make for some great conversation as a couple. And thanks, Greg, for the description of the monkey trap. And that illustration and other great insights and good tips, as well as some great humor, are in the book, Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage. Our program was provided by Focus on the Family, and on behalf of Jim Daly, thanks for listening. I'm John Fuller.
The Smalleys have given us married couples some valuable nuggets from their book, Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage. In their book, they flesh out 12 secrets for a lifelong marriage. And there is so much wisdom, along with practical ideas in it, that will help you in your marriage. This book may be the key that changes your marriage from mediocre to great. You can find Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage on our website at safamily.co.za or call us on 031-716-3300 to order. And then the great news is that this wonderful couple will be joining us for a countrywide tour of marriage events called Resist the Drift. The spark is gone. It's like you and your spouse have become married roommates. How do you get the excitement back? Join us for a fun but important date night to find out. We'll be in Pretoria, Cape Town, and Durban between the 26th of July and the 3rd of August. There'll also be a morning event for marriage champions. You'll find the details on our website at safamily.co.za. For Focus on the Family Africa, I'm Alison Schnell, inviting you back next time when we'll once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.